Cade Cunningham had a really tough night against the Boston Celtics, easily his worst game of the season, and honestly, one of the worst games he's played throughout his entire career. I just want to talk about Cade today. I want to talk about how the offense is impacting him, what's surrounding him, what he needs to improve on, how he can play better moving forward more consistently. I want to talk about all that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. And today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, Cade Cunningham, it's kind of crazy some of the discourse I've seen about Cade this year from Pistons fans. And it's went back forth. At the beginning of the year, it was, oh my God, the first four games, he hasn't made a step forward. Then over the next like four or five games, it's like, oh my God, Cade's the savior. Then he has his bad game against the Boston Celtics. Now it's time to get worried about Cade Cunningham again. So I just want to talk about, for this entire first segment, I just want to give my thoughts on Cade, some of his struggles, what he needs to improve on, and how I think the team needs to help him moving forward. And just I just want to give my thoughts overall on him as a player right now. So, first of all, we're only – how many games are we into the season? 11, 12 games into the season? Things can change throughout the season. But the very first thing I want to talk about is it's quite clear to everybody that in order for Cade to reach his ceiling, in order to Cade become that unstoppable force that we've talked about before, in order for Cade to really take that – I think he can take a next step without this, but in order for him to take that, like, massive step forward – he has to become a better outside shooter. And that's not on anybody but Cade. Cade has to improve as an outside shooter. Last year, he shot 31% from deep. So far this year, he's shooting 28% from deep. That's horrific. He has to shoot better from deep. As well as he shoots from the free throw line, and as well he shoots from the mid-range, there's no reason why. And for how well he shot in college from deep, there's no reason why he should be shooting this badly from beyond the arc. I don't know if they tweaked his shot. I don't know what's going on, but he has to get that sorted out in order for him to reach that next step. That completely falls on him. He has to become a better outside shooter. No one else has anything to do with that. His teammates, scheme, all that stuff. He has to be able to hit outside shots. If he eventually becomes able to consistently hit outside shots at a high level, Cade's going to be hard to stop offensively, and he's going to reach that ceiling that he has. But he has to improve in that area. So that's the part I think Cade has to improve on himself, that no one else has an impact on. That's just on his shoulders. However, everything else, I do want to talk about what's surrounding him, what's going on with the offense, and how I just don't think he's really being set up right now to consistently play well. So the big thing around Cade is his efficiency. So this year he's averaging 20 points a game, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. Before this past game, he was at, I believe, 21-7-6. So this past game is really weighing it down. But he's had improvement in points per game, assists, rebounds, etc. So his overall numbers have increased, but his efficiency has overall stayed around the same, if not went down a little bit. That's where he needs to improve on. And I think the Pistons, what's surrounding him is really hurting that department. Again, the outside shot itself, that is on him. But everything else, it's hard with the players he has around him and the way they're playing and the way he's being utilized. I think that it's really making it tough on Cade to consistently play efficient basketball and consistently get clean looks for himself. For example, this past game against the Boston Celtics, I don't think I saw him take his pull-up midi one time. I don't think I saw him get space to get to the mid-range one time. I don't think I saw that. Boston was pushing him out to the three-point line. They were forcing him to go to the basket. They were funneling him to the basket, where multiple defenders were waiting on him, and it was tough for him to get any clean looks off at the rim. I think that's something that a lot of teams have been doing. The Pistons right now across the NBA, they rank in the bottom five in three-point shooting. They are the fifth worst three-point shooting team in the NBA. And as we've talked about on the podcast before, if it was not for Bojan Bogdanović, this team probably would be the least or would be at the bottom of the league in outside shooting. They're currently playing lineups with Hamidou Diallo. Let me say it this way. Dwayne Casey's trying to stagger Jane Ivy and Kay Cunningham. And the way he's been doing that, he's taking Jane Ivy out first, playing Killian Hayes, Hamidou Diallo, and he's playing Cade with Diallo, Killian, and Stu. There's no driving lanes open for that. When guys aren't defending Isaiah Stewart, when guys aren't defending Hamidou Diallo, when guys aren't defending other non-shooters and they're just packing the paint, it makes it hard to get to the paint. And if you do get to the paint, every shot you're going to take is going to be a tough one. Everything's going to be a tough one. And I think that's what I've seen. If you watch the games, just watch this moving forward. It feels like every drive that every drive that Kay Cunningham has is a contested tough one. It's not the fact he's not being his own defender. It's not the fact he can't raise up over his own defender. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the rotating defense that's there. Heck, you can go all the way back to when Isaiah Stewart hit that game-winning three in the beginning of the year. Why was that open? Because Kay drove to the rim, got to the paint, and Isaiah Stewart's man literally was just standing in the paint and asking the Pistons, hey, please pass the ball out to Isaiah Stewart. Let him shoot the three. And then when he passed it out to him, he didn't even try to go out and close out. They just said, okay, take it. Now he hit it. That's good for Isaiah Stewart. But that's kind of like the idea of what's been going on with Cade throughout this season so far, through these 12 games. And it was a big concern of mine throughout the entire offseason. I told you guys this was a big concern of mine. The problem to me is, and hopefully it gets resolved and Marvin Bagley gets back, but honestly, I think it might even get worse. It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough to see. But my biggest concern is that the Pistons, and I'm not saying they're wrong to do this, I'm not saying they're right either, but the Pistons are focusing and they want Isaiah Stewart to develop as an outside shooter. And they're also, I don't think Diallo will play once Burks gets back. I think that problem will be reserved or resolved. Once Burks gets back, they'll have a little bit more spacing and maybe you could get away with this more. But the problem is the Pistons are wanting to develop Isaiah Stewart's outside shot and they're welcoming him to continue to take these outside shots. And like I've said before, Isaiah Stewart, for his own development, this is a good thing. For his own development, this is a good thing. They want him to take these shots. They're encouraging him to take these shots. He's going to get better, hopefully, as the season goes on, as he continues to take these shots. He'll eventually become a better shooter. Now, however, his ceiling as a shooter, I don't think it's insanely high, but that's not what I'm arguing about here. They're hoping that as the season goes on, he gets closer and closer and closer to that shooting season or shooting ceiling. The problem, which is what I talked about throughout the offseason, is that, yes, this will be okay for Stu's development, but what's going to happen in the process of that will hurt the ball handlers. Because defenses, no matter what Stu's shooting from the field this year, which I believe as of right now he's shooting under 30% from deep, so far, or no matter what throughout the season, no matter if he's shooting 30%, yeah, he's shooting 27% right now from deep. So no matter if he's shooting 27%, 30%, 32%, 34%, defenses are going to say, we are going to welcome an Isaiah Stewart three before we allow Kay Cunningham to get to his spot and get to the rim. We're going to do that every single time. So the fact is, the big man is not guarding Stu when he's popping. It's making driving lanes tough on Cade. And it's not just Stu. Stu's just the one I'm really going to point out here because the big man, the way big men have been guarding Stu and Hamidou Diallo when they're on the court, is just crippling to your offense. It's just like how teams defend Russell Westbrook and the Lakers when they put the big man Russ and the guy just sits in the paint and doesn't move more than two steps every defensive possession. That's crippling. But the fact that it's not just that, the fact that everyone around him can't shoot either. They're shooting 32% as a team on the year so far. That's fifth worst, like I said. So guys, not only are the big man's not only not respecting Isaiah Stewart from beyond the arc and sitting in the paint, guys are sitting in the driving lanes, reaching in, slapping in, kind of helping off all the other guys because no one else is hitting outside shots consistently either outside of Bojan Bogdanović. No one else is doing it. No one else is consistently hitting outside shots. And for a guy like Cade, you can say this is a negative. You can say whatever you want. He's the Pistons franchise player now. You need to work to his strengths. For a guy like Cade, who's not an extremely explosive player with his first step, who's not just like Jane Ivey with his first step, he needs spacing. He needs to be able to have space to work and use his manipulation, his change of speeds, and his length to get shots off. He needs to be able to use that. And I'll go back to this example that we always talk about, and this will probably be the last thing I say. We always bring this up. At least I've always brought this up on the podcast to you guys. There was a game against the Utah Jazz last year. It was the game Rex Kalamian coached. And it was they did something that I have no clue why they don't do it all the time with Kay Cunningham. It should be what they do consistently. It's what they do for Luka. It's what they do for Jason Tatum. They do it for all these players that kind of that have the – they do it for SGA. Do it for all kinds of these players that have the same comp as Kay. Against the Utah Jazz last year, they put a stretch big at the five, which was Trey Lyles. They let that they went out there, gave Cade the ball at the top of the key. They brought the matchup that they wanted, have that guy set a screen, got the mismatch they wanted, and then they literally just spread through the floor and let Cade go at the mismatch with the spaced out floor every single time. And the Pistons won that, or I think they either they won that game or Cade had a great game in the fourth. I think they pulled it out in the fourth. That's how offenses run with Luka, with SGA, with Jason Tatum. That's what they do with these guys. Instead, the Pistons are consistently having Cade go against the best defender on the other team with a non-space floor without, again, going after a mismatch with a guy, whether half the time there's two guys sitting in the paint because Diallo and Stu's on the floor, or it's just Stu and that guy sitting in there. And then actually you can include other guys because other guys aren't hitting outside shots either. So it's just, it's really tough right now for Cade. Does Cade need to become a better outside shooter? Yes. That's completely on him. That's unacceptable, and he needs to improve that, or he's never going to reach the ceiling as the Pistons franchise player if he can't improve that outside shot. That falls on him. Everything else is being made way, way harder on him by his surrounding pieces and by the coaching staff by not doing things that you see other players do across the NBA. Go watch other NBA teams. I need you guys to please watch other NBA teams. Watch what other teams do with their star players. Heck, LeBron did this for 10 years. LeBron did this for 10 years. Hunt out the mismatch. Everyone move to the space floor. Get shooters around me. I can attack this mismatch, and if someone helps, I'm kicking out for a shooter. Cade's good enough to do that. We saw him do that in the few times they did it last year. They've not done it once this year. They don't ever do it, ever for him. So they're making life harder on him. He has to improve, yes, as an outside shooter. But, man, the Pistons aren't helping him. They're not helping him. He's not They're making it harder on them. And I hope eventually you start to see some of these things happen. This was a very long first segment, but I just had to get my overall thoughts on Cade so far this year, what I'm seeing. He needs – the coaching staff has to help him out. His teammates have to help him out. There's no reason why Cade should be going at Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum every single possession. There's no reason why that every single possession Cade's going against the best defender. Why are they not drawing things up to get him mismatches? Why is he not going against the mismatch every possession and running against a space floor? Why? Why is he not doing that? It's frustrating to watch. So I just had to get those thoughts out. Let me know what you guys think about that, man. I'm not making excuses for Cade. Cade is an outside shooter. That's on him, dude. I've said it so many times on the podcast already. That's on him. He has to improve that. That's on him. There's no excuses for that. Everything else, he needs some help, man. He's not LeBron. He's not Michael Jordan. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you guys thought he was that. I'm sorry if you guys thought he's perfect and he should be overcoming all of this. But he's not. He's not a perfect player. He's not the flawless prospect. He needs help. He needs help. And he's not. I don't think he's getting it. It's frustrating to watch, too. So, 13 minutes of the first segment. My God, I'm going to get killed by my bosses for this. But it is what it is. Let me know what you guys think about this. Comment section down below or over on Twitter. At Cuckoo Hill. When we come back, Alec Burks might be returning tonight against his former team. Let's talk about the impact he'll have if he does indeed return tonight against the New York Knicks. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer to esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at betonline.net as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends in action today. And if you head over to betonline.net right now and you click on that basketball tab, you will see they got the favorites for MVP, Coach of the Year, Championship Odds, Sixth Man of the Year, Rookie of the Year, all that stuff. They got the betting favorites over there at betonline.net. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. All right, according to the injury report, Alec Burks is probable for this game against the New York Knicks Friday night. Now, Marvin Bagley is questionable. I'm going to assume that means he's probably not going to play. He's probably not going to return against the New York Knicks. Maybe he returns tomorrow in this back-to-back on Saturday. But right now, we don't know about Marvin Bagley. But the fact that Pistons put Alec Burks as probable, I'm going to assume he probably is making his return to the Pistons, or maybe his, not even his return, his debut in the Pistons jersey tonight against the New York Knicks. What is his impact going to have for the Detroit Pistons? Well, there's a few things that he's going to do. One, he's immediately going to help with the spacing. Immediately. And I think you'll see that, you'll see the impact of that instantly. When you see Jaden Ivey come out, like we were just talking about, when they stagger Cade and Jaden, and the guys that get brought in are Killian, Hami, and Jalen Duren, I believe. They usually try to let Isaiah Stewart run for a little bit longer, then eventually Duren gets in. But that, those are usually the first two guys that get in. Either way, instead of Hamidou Diallo, hopefully it is now Alec Burks getting brought in. And now, with that lineup, which is a lineup that we actually have seen with Jaden Ivey last game against the Boston Celtics, the lineup looked really good. It was Jaden Ivey, Killian Hayes, Isaiah Livers. They had Sadiq Bey and Jalen Duren. That's a properly spaced lineup. You have two ball handlers in Killian and Jaden Ivey. You have two shooters in Livers and Bojan. And you have a lob threat going to the rim. So you have an adequate spaced out floor. And you had one possession too when they just, they had like five passes on a one possession where it went from one corner to all the way to the other side and found an open three. It was beautiful basketball to watch. So when you get a properly spaced floor with adequate offense, adequate system that you can have, the offense will look a lot better. So hopefully when Alec Burks comes back, instead of Hamidou Diallo coming in, it will be Alec Burks, and Cade will be playing with a Cade, Alec Burks, Killian Hayes, who else you want to throw out there, Isaiah Livers or Bojan in a Duren or Isaiah Stewart. That lineup is properly spaced. That lineup, you can do some stuff with it. You can space it out. Guys aren't going to be just sagging off Alec Burks. They're not going to be putting Luke Kornet on Alec Burks and singing in the paint. They won't be able to do that. So that's the biggest thing I'm looking forward to, is the fact he's going to bring something that simply Hamidou Diallo can't do, and there's not any other guard really on the Pistons that can do this, and that's shoot the three at an extremely high percentage. Over the last few years, he shot 40% this past year with the Knicks from three. 2 years ago, 41%. 3 years ago, 38%. So over the past 3 years in the NBA, he is a 40% three-point shooter. So he should provide that spacing, and taking Diallo's spot in the rotation is big. It really is big. I can't explain to you guys. Listen, I know some of you guys like Hamidou Diallo. It is what it is. Diallo just can't – you can't play him consistent rotation minutes. You can't continue to have someone where the opposing team can put their center on him, plant the center in the paint, and just not move more than two steps every possession. It's crippling to your offense. You can't do it. So Alec Burks will solve that. Secondly, what I'm going to be watching for, which I think is going to be really interesting, especially when Marvin Bagley gets back, is that Dwayne Casey has went to a 9-man rotation. I think majority of the NBA teams run a 9-man rotation, unless they are incredibly deep. Then you'll see maybe a 10-man rotation. Heck, some nights maybe you'll see 11-man rotation if somebody gets in foul trouble with a certain team. But most teams run 9-man rotation. And that 9-man rotation has been Jaden Ivey, Cade Cunningham, Bojan, Jalen Duren, Sadiq Bey, Killian Hayes, Isaiah Stewart, Hamidou Diallo, and Isaiah Livers. Those are your 9 guys right there. Now, with the return of Alec Burks, take out Hamidou Diallo, you put back Alec Burks. Now you still are at a 9-man rotation. So I'm interested to see, does he stay with the 9-man rotation when Burks comes back? Does Burks just fill in for Diallo? Or does he still play Diallo and just go back to his 5-in, 5-out? I hope he doesn't just go back to the 5 starters out, 5 bench players in, because that was horrific. But he could do that. So I'm going to be watching for that too. But especially when Marvin Bagley gets back. Like, let's say Marvin Bagley comes back on Saturday. Let's say he comes back in the second, on the back end of this back-to-back. Is someone not playing? Because there's no one he's coming in for that's just sitting. If he gets added to the rotation, that's instantly 10 guys. Unless you're sitting somebody. Are the Pistons, I don't know who I don't even know who they who could they bench. Is Isaiah Livers not getting minutes? Are they benching Isaiah Livers to stay with the 9-man rotation? Or are they going back to that 10-man rotation? And then are we going to see the 5 in, 5 out? Or has Dwayne Casey learned that probably going 5 in, 5 out probably isn't sustainable? And maybe we get, like, I don't know, Killian Hayes subbed in at like the 8-minute mark, or to get one of the guards out and then let that guard run with the bench unit so you have one starter in. That's probably what I would do. So you can have Ivy or K, whichever one you want to do, come in with the bench unit and they just run the bench unit. Or do you get heck, it also depends if they start Marvin Bagley when he returns. But let's say maybe they try to get let's say they keep the starting lineup and they replace the front court early. Maybe they take Isaiah Stewart and Bojan out and put Duren and Bagley in or something. I don't know. Maybe they do something like that to try to keep those guys with the bench unit. Maybe he does something like that. That's what I'm going to be watching for, though, because I'm really hoping he just doesn't go 5 in, 5 out. And I think they're going to have to go back to the 10-man rotation when Bagley gets back. So I think if you see them go back to the 10-man rotation simply when Alec Burks comes back tonight, I think that's a 100% for sure sign that they're going to stay with the 10-man when Bagley gets back, because then Bagley will just take Hamley's spot. But if they go to the 9-man rotation, I will be incredibly interested to see what decision Dwayne Casey does. Does he stay with the 9-man, or does he go back to the 10-man? And how does he handle the 10-man rotation if he doesn't? So that's what I'm going to be watching for in Alec Burks' return, and especially Marvin Bagley's return, which sounds like it's coming soon. So let me know what you guys think about that. Are you guys excited to see Alec Burks debut in the Pistons uniform? Do you guys think he's going to help the Pistons tremendously? Let me know all of that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at KuCahill. The Pistons dropped another set of jerseys. These ones are dedicated to a certain high school in Detroit. No, they're not about Verner's. For the love of God, I hope you guys don't actually believe that those jerseys that were just dropped were inspired by Verner's. Let's come on, guys. But we're going to talk about those jerseys. Do I like the jerseys? Where do I rank them in the current jerseys they got going on right now? This is going to give a little fun topic about the jerseys when we come back. But first, you guys got to hear from some of our lovely sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast you or podcast platform you are listening to this on. So the Detroit Pistons came out with their City Edition jerseys. These are the jerseys. Now, I believe Big Sean has some kind of imprint on all the other ones too. I believe he's just like the head of their creative department. But this was the one that he's really been hyping up, and he has something to do with. So these jerseys are dedicated or inspired to honor St. Cecilia's Basketball Gym. It's located near Livernois and I-96 on Detroit's west side. So I think a lot of you guys who live in Michigan or live in the Metro Detroit area or live in the Detroit area know of this gym. If you do not know where that gym's located or anything about that gym or the high school, whatever, the Pistons were actually just there. You guys remember the what song were they singing? Were they singing what song was it? Was it Sunshine? I think it was Sunshine by I forget who. Oh my God, how am I drawing a blank on this song? I think it's Sunshine. I don't know. I'm really mad at myself now because I believe this was the song my dad used to always play for my mom. Either way, I'm really mad that I'm forgetting the name of this song and who does it. Either way. Before the season, you guys remember the Pistons Instagram account, Twitter account, all their social medias. They put out a video, like a 10-second video, of them in that gym. And they were dancing side to side with Jalen Rose. They were dancing side to side, singing that song, whatever. They were there. That's where they were at. Remember, you'll see them. This was actually the day that Kelly Olynyk and Saben Lee were traded. There's that picture of Saben Lee and Kelly Olynyk and all the team sitting on that staircase right outside the gym, and they posted that picture. They were right there, and that 100% had a big – I'm assuming they probably took pictures with those jerseys in that gym. That's probably why they were there. So you guys saw them there. That kind of hinted at the fact you were getting something with them coming soon. So they are dropping these jerseys. These jerseys are green. I don't know how I like these jerseys. I need to see them on the court. I will say this. I do like the fact that they're trying to be creative. I respect that. I respect the fact that they are trying to be creative and not just going with this, with the plain, you know, red look, or even though I love the red jerseys, but just the regular red or the regular blue and all that. I can respect the fact that they are trying. And honestly, I think these jerseys, so I see Cade and Sadiq in these. They have like one photo with Cade and Sadiq wearing them. I don't know how to really like, I don't think I can really get like a opinion off of this one. I need to see them on the court. I need to see them on the court playing in them. And I don't know when their first game playing in them will be, but I need to see it on the court. Either way, I like the fact that they're being creative. I like the fact that they were dedicating it to that, that famous gym in Detroit. Very notable. I respect it. But yeah, I just need to see. And Big Sean's name also is on the bottom right corner of it. They have his signature on there. Make sure you guys look up these jerseys. If I had to rank them in the Pistons' current jersey set that they have, you guys already know I hate the Pistons jerseys, their original jerseys they got. The Statement Edition ones, once I saw them on the court, they're not bad, but they're not as good as I thought they were when I originally saw them. So I don't know. I need to see them on the court. I think they might be better than the City Edition or the Statement Edition ones. They're not better than the teal. I love the teal. The Pistons need to wear the teal more. They need to just bring it back and bring at least bring the horse back, the horse logo back completely to be their main logo. Because that the court, the logo, it's fire. It's not better than the teal, but I think this might, it might get up to second, low-key. Because they kind of remind me of like high school jerseys. Nice, not too much design. Nice, clean, crisp high school jerseys with Detroit across the front. I think I might really like these, but again, I just need to see them on the court first before I give a final opinion on it. So I want to hear your guys' opinion, though. Do you guys like these jerseys? Where do you guys have them ranked in the current set of jerseys the Pistons are going to be wearing this season? Let me know all that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at @KookHill. But that's all I've got for you guys today, man. Hopefully you guys enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully there's a fun game tonight against the Knicks. The Knicks seem to just smack the Pistons around every time they play them. So hopefully it's a little bit closer tonight, a little bit more competitive, a little bit more fun for all of our sake. But anyways, thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. And until next time, I will see you guys later. Go Pistons. Stay safe, everybody, and peace out.